Today's reading is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 1 to 10. So I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands, but no one knows whether love or hate awaits them. All share a common destiny. The righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifice and those who do not. As it is with the good, so with the sinful. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live. And afterward, they join the dead. Anyone who was among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have all since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. Go, eat your food with gladness, and drink your wine with a joyful heart. For God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white, and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy your life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life, and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working nor planning, nor wisdom nor knowledge. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Clarissa. Thank you, Justin. If I can recommend that you take your Bibles out and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. It's found on page 544 of the church Bibles. They're at the back, and you can find it, I'm sure, on your phone and whatnot. But let's pray that God will speak to us through this passage. Lord, we give you great praise and thanks for these words, and we pray that these words will mean to us life, life now, and life everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy New Year to all of you. Happy New Year. Konghae fa choy. San tai gin hong. Thank you. I'm sorry. Well, these are some of the wishes that we make for one another. Have a happy and prosperous New Year. Have a healthy, long life. We do that for one another in this New Year's time. But also, this actually has been the theme of our book, the book that we've been studying, Book of Ecclesiastes, how to live a happy life, a good life, a meaningful life, a life that is worth living. And this might surprise you that actually death has something to do with it. So on this Chinese New Year, on this day when we wish each other long life, I'm going to give you a bit of a counterintuitive key to living a happy life. It means actually, in order to live a good life, a happy life, a truly happy life, we need to be aware that we're going to die. We need to live knowing that we are going to die. And so this is one of the main points of this passage that we just read, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and also that we are going to enjoy the gifts that God has given us. And also, as Christians, we need to know that death also has been defeated. So when someone is born, we don't know how their life will turn out. You can live a righteous and good and holy life and actually fall ill and die. Or you could live a perfectly terrible life, a wicked life, but live a life that looks like it's been blessed by God. there is a degree of chance in this fallen world. And that's what the writer means in verse 1. If you take a look at verse 1, it says, "The righteous and the wise, no one knows whether love or hate awaits them." Most commentators say this isn't about afterlife. This is about what happens in this life. No one knows whether your life will be filled with love or filled with hate. We don't know how your life will turn out. But there is something that's certain for all of us, and that's verse 2. We can be certain that we will all die. Our common destiny, the righteous, the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and unclean, as we see in verse 2. People who offer sacrifice, people who don't, people who swear, take oaths, or people who do not. People who are good or people who are wicked. Chinese, Hong Kongers, Koreans, Japanese, Brits, Aussies. We all die. That's our common destiny. So don't let death catch you by surprise, by surprise. In our modern world, we hide death. You know this. We hide death, we avoid death, and we pretend that it doesn't exist. In old days, if you went to an English church, there was the churchyard with graves. You went through, actually, it wasn't just the outside. People were interred inside of the church as well. The reminder of death was around you, all around you. But now, cemeteries, funeral homes are tucked away. It's far away from the city center. And we put all sorts of things that hide that we're actually aging, that we are heading towards death, like anti-aging cream, or people do Botox or something, or people dye their hair when they get a bit older. We take fourth floor out of our buildings. Well, because it sounds like death. So when death comes, we're often surprised by it. Oh, how did it come? Tim Keller, in his book, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering, recounts a woman who told him that when she was diagnosed with cancer, she stopped believing in God. She said, "How can I believe in God? I can't believe in a God who would do this to me," she said. He writes, "Cancer killed her God." Cancer killed her God. So the first question that I want to ask you today is, friends, do you have a theology that accounts for suffering and death? Do you have a theology that makes room for death in this world? Because unlike most other sufferings, we can't avoid death. No matter what you do, we cannot avoid death. And the Bible has always been clear that death is around us. It's been clear in the creation account. If you eat this, you will die. Of course, the serpent lied about it. You will not surely die. But Adam and Eve, they took the right of determining what's right and wrong for themselves. They said, "I want to be like God and decide what is right and wrong for myself." And then since then, there has been death in humanity, because God cannot let the people who ruin God's good world go on forever. Death has reigned since Genesis chapter 3. And the Bible has been warning us about death throughout the Bible. Last week, we read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2. Remember, there's time to be born, and of course, there's also time to die. A few chapters later, in chapter 7, verse 2, the preacher king writes, "It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and living will take it to heart." Living will take death to heart, he says. Remember Moses' prayer in Psalm 90, "Teach his people, teach us, teach God, teach your people to number our days. Number our days so that we may get the heart of wisdom." Psalm 90, verse 12. So in the Christian tradition, there has been this, what's called memento mori, remembrance of death as part of our life. That tradition has developed. So in the medieval paintings, some of them, you'll see people being painted with hourglass or a skull or something like that, that reminds people that they are going to die, that death is our end, that we should live in the light of it. So here is Hans Holbein's very famous painting called Ambassadors. As you can see there, the skull at the bottom is stretched out. And there's symbols of wealth and power and scientific progress merriment like music. But the thing that puts everything into perspective, or that's out of perspective, is the skull at the bottom. Because you need to look at all of that through perspective of death. Death is our end. Don't let it catch you by surprise. But it's not just the Bible. It's not just the Christian tradition that reminds you that you're going to die. We're going to die. The wise of the world have always reminded us that we are going to die, that we need to live with death in mind. As Epictetus, the Stoic philosopher, taught his disciples when kissing their children or brother or family member, people who they love, that you should remind them, even as you hug them, that they're going to die. In modern times, just in 2017, this app was launched. It's called WeCroak. If you install it 5 times a day, this app will remind you that you're going to die. 5 times a day. The concept was rooted in the Bhutanese Buddhist tradition that says you should embrace the impermanence of life, that we are heading to death, to enhance life now. It sounds a little morbid, but this is what one writer, The Atlantic magazine, writes about it. What's a little public speaking next to the terrifying finality of my inevitable demise? Soon after, I'm at my friend's wedding, sulking about impending deadline, when WeCroak again reminds me, don't forget, you're going to die. I loosen up and finish my champagne and opt to enjoy myself. In other words, the renewed focus on mortality reduces the user's anxiety by expanding their perspective beyond the present. Daily irritations lose their sting and seem inconsequential in the light of the great beyond. More than that, minor pleasures take on added joy by virtue of their scarcity. I gave her perspective. Death gives us perspective. Little things will pass. We don't have to freak out about everything. Wise living means knowing that we are going to die. Don't be caught off guard by death. And not being caught off guard by death also means enjoying the time that we have, enjoying the life that we have. And that's what he goes on to say in verse 4 and on. Being alive, in verse 4, is better than being dead, he says. Enjoy life. You know, actually, so in verse 4 and on, you'll see the word meaningless. It's not quite meaningless. NIV, I think, has taken one word that has many different meanings, and it's reduced it to one, but it's not just meaningless. Life isn't just meaningless. It's as we've seen, you know, in my first sermon, it's that word is like vapor. It's something that is, you can't grasp. It goes away. It comes and goes. It's that sort of quality that he's talking about. Life just appears for a few moments. It goes away. That's what it means when he says meaningless, or that word. He says, life is like that. It comes and goes. It's quick. And even a live dog, verse 4, is better than a dead lion. You get the picture. Imagine little chihuahua, just tiny little chihuahua barking. This funny thing. That little live dog chihuahua is better than being a majestic, king of the pride, lion that's dead. Right? It's better to be alive than being dead. Why? Because death brings ignorance. Verse 5. They know nothing. They know nothing. Dead know nothing. And not only that, the people who lived and died, well, they'll be forgotten. You'll all be forgotten. And they also forfeit, verse 6, whatever experience that you could have in life, the life that you could enjoy right now, they can't. The dead cannot have it. Verse 6, their love, their hate and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have part in anything that happens under the sun. You see, life is hevel. Life is this vapor. Enjoy life now. Enjoy life now. God has given you this life now. Enjoy it. It's God's gift. And I hope you are able to enjoy this Chinese New Year and enjoy some of the things that he mentions in verses 7 to 10. Verse 7, I hope you've enjoyed some of the best food and wine and drink. You know, just eating good food, drinking good drinks can bring you satisfaction in life, can it? You can be content with just little things, simple joys in life. I hope you were able to enjoy that. Verse 8, I hope you donned your best clothes. That's what he means when he says, put on white clothes. Your best clean, good clothes. Anoint yourself with oil, best perfume, smell good. Enjoy life. Verse 9, I hope you're able to get together with your wife or husband, your children and family during this Chinese New Year. Enjoy the fellowship of the loved ones. God has given you these great people in your life that you get to enjoy your life with. And verse 10, I hope you go back to work tomorrow and do it with all your might and find satisfaction in the work that you do. As counterintuitive as it is, being aware that we're going to die is like adding a pinch of salt to our life. It brings out the best flavor of life. It helps you to enjoy this life. And this was the experience of Pastor Tim Keller, who passed away in 2023. He wrote in 2022 a piece in the Atlantic magazine called Growing My Faith in the Face of Death. He said, after he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, this burden was lifted from his shoulders. A burden to change the world, a burden to do God's will. I mean, doing God's will is a good thing, but a burden to live life in a way that... Anyway, all that burden was lifted, and he was able to receive each day as God's gift, something that God has given him as a gift. He writes, we, his wife Kathy and he, have found that the simplest things, from the sun on the water and flowers in the vase to our own embraces, sex and conversations, bring more joy than ever. This has taken us by surprise. This change was not an overnight revolution, as God's reality dawns on my heart. Slowly and painfully and through many tears, the simplest pleasures of this world have become sources of daily happiness. It is only as I become, for the lack of a better term, more heavenly minded that I can see the material world for the astonishingly good divine gift it is. I can sincerely say, without any sentimentality or exaggeration, that I've never been happier in my life. That I've never had more days filled with comfort. Knowing that he was going to die made him realize that each day is a gift, that his days were full. He was able to enjoy it as God's gift, enjoy the simple pleasures of this world. But underlying the philosophy of this app, We Croak, or the Stoics, and Pastor Tim Keller's, is actually a vast difference between the two. Again, take the Stoics, who said, hug the people that you love, but know that they're going to die. What he means by that is don't get too attached. Why? Well, because death will happen. Or the Bhutanese philosophy, right, of embracing the impermanence of life and embracing death in our midst. Well, you know what, and enjoy life. What it's saying is, look, you are going to die, so you have to enjoy things now. You see, the wisest of the world say that death is part of this world. It's part of the circle of life, but they cannot shake off the evilness of death. You see, all these different philosophies know that death is something that is evil. And that's what the preacher king says in verse 3. Remember this, verse 3. This is evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny, death, overtakes all. It's evil because it's unjust. The good and the bad, they go to the same fate. It's evil because death isn't supposed to happen. It's just an evil thing that has intruded in this good world. Death shouldn't be this way. And there are plenty of people who cannot just say, well, I'm going to die, and so I'm just going to enjoy life. Plenty of people who cannot do that. Existentialist Jean-Paul Sartre said that your life has no meaning the moment that you lose illusion of eternity. How can I live my life when I know I'm going to die, he says. A filmmaker, Woody Allen, He says, I don't want to achieve immortality through my work. I want to achieve immortality through not dying. You see, the wise of the world says we ought to accept the reality of our death. But there is something that's in us that says, actually, death isn't just something that is in this world. It shouldn't be like this. The world shouldn't be like this. We have this yearning for more because we were made originally for a world without death. We are made to be in relationship with the one who calls himself life. I am the resurrection and the life. That is the meaning of the passage that we read last week as well. That's partly the meaning in chapter 3, verse 2. God has set eternity in our hearts. So many years after this preacher King wrote this reflection, Jesus came. And what Jesus did is he changed the ending to our humanity, of our humanity, right? And if you think about a story or a movie or books or whatever, the ending is everything. How a book ends, how the story ends, it changes what happens, how you see what happens in the beginning and the middle too. Ending changes everything. And if humanity ends in winter, in death, well, life is meaningless. How can I enjoy life when I'm just going to die? All the good things that I have will just disintegrate. I won't be able to enjoy any of it in the future. But if humanity's winter, death, is followed up by spring, a new life, actually, it gives meaning and purpose to the winter, to our death. Death itself is transformed. And that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to change the ending to our humanity, from death to life. Remember Jesus, during his life, he goes to Martha and Mary's house grieving the loss of their brother Lazarus. He looked at them and said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Remember, that wasn't said in a lecture hall of philosophers discussing hypotheticals. People are wailing and mourning. That was at a funeral home, grieving the loss of their brother. And he went to in front of that tomb, stinking of death. He said, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus came out. But he didn't come to do that just for one person. He came to make that possible for everyone who trusts in him, who believes in him, that we might have life even though we die. So from Lazarus' house, he went to the cross, and he went to his tomb. And on the third day, on that resurrection Sunday morning, on that Easter day, he rose again from the dead, which changed the humanity's ending, which changes also our present. It changes our present. It changes everything. You know, without that resurrection, there's a limit to how much you can enjoy life, right? You can enjoy good things. You can enjoy good food and good wine, good company, good things in this life. But how do you enjoy bad things? How do you go through bad things? When evil comes to your life, it overwhelms us. When death comes to our life, then everything seems like it's just disintegrating. There is no more meaning. But because of the changed ending, we can enjoy, we can go through everything in this world. In that book on suffering, Pastor Tim Keller writes very movingly about this. He says, it was just before my cancer surgery, my thyroid was about to be removed. And after that, I faced treatment with radioactive iodine to destroy any residual cancerous thyroid tissues in my body. Of course, my whole family and I were shaken by it all and deeply anxious. On the morning of my surgery, after I said goodbyes to my wife and sons, I was wheeled into a room to be prepped. And in the moment before they gave me the anesthetics, I prayed. To my surprise, I got a sudden, clear, new perspective on everything. It seemed to me that the universe was an enormous realm of joy, mirth, and high beauty. Of course it was. Didn't the triune God make it to be filled with his own boundless joy, wisdom, love, and delight? And within this great globe of glory was only one little speck of darkness, our world, where there was temporary pain and suffering, but it was only one speck. And soon that speck would fade away and everything would be light. And I thought, it doesn't matter how my surgery goes. Everything would be all right. Me, my wife, my children, my church will be all right. I went to sleep with a bright peace on my heart, in my heart. Everything will be all right. Everything. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Even death is not to be feared by Christians anymore. It's a portal towards meeting our good Maker, loving Maker. And that change of ending changes the present today. It's good to enjoy good things in life. But actually, if we don't, as Christians, that's completely fine too. If we go through suffering and pain in this world, that's completely fine too. Actually, many Christians, all Christians should forego some of this, right? We voluntarily give up our comfort, our money, our time, our energy to volunteer, to serve others. We voluntarily let go and go through suffering to serve others. We give up 10%, 20%, 30% of our income to serve God's kingdom. We volunteer. You have come to set up early. People are there out there in serving our children and youth right now. Throughout the week, you welcome people into your homes. You spend money in helping people, in furthering God's kingdom. You've done that because we have hope for the future. And as we know Jesus Christ, the life Himself, we can live life for God and for others, enjoying a deeper joy that the world cannot know. And our reading today in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, ended with these words, "Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might." Well, why? Because you're going to die. Slightly, you know. But notice the difference in Paul's conclusion of this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that discusses the resurrection. His conclusion is this: "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Friends, death will come to us all. Don't be surprised by it. Enjoy good things that God has given you. But don't despair. Don't despair when you miss out. We will not miss out. An eternity is coming. We will live with the King who will say to us, "Everything that I have now is yours." So, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Happy New Year, everyone. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the good world that you've given us. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the trees and flowers. We thank you for good food, good wine, good friends, good clothes, good perfume. We thank you for the goodness in this world. It sings of your glory. Lord, we thank you that you have defeated death, that we are able to go through even the evils of this life. We thank you that it has a purpose. We thank you that we can trust you with them. We thank you that we will enjoy an eternity with your loving presence. Lord, help us to know the people, to be people who know your goodness now, who know the power of what you have done, and help us to live this life to the fullest, and help us to live for you. For we know that all that we do in your name, all that we do for you, that our work will not be in vain. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.